Welcome to episode 225 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There are some links with more information available on the show page today, and you can find that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
There should be a theme song.
There's no singing.
I'm sorry. We already discussed this.
Yeah, you have offended as often as I have. Right? I did it twice. You did it twice. You did it twice in one episode. It's amazing.
It was an accident.
We're talking about the prefrontal cortex.
We are. Okay.
Today. But before we get into that, I want to do an announcement, which is next week, no show.
Oh, all right.
That's the 4th of July would be the day the episode comes out on, and I'm just not going to compete with that. Also, it's the 4th of July.
It's not so much about it competing. We're going to be outside cooking things or...
Whatever. We don't need to explain everything we're going to be doing. We we talked on Monday.
We did. I blame the house.
Do you?
Yes.
Because I blame you.
Fine.
That's what I'm doing.
I'll survive. I'm the new
Welcome
guy.
To episode... I'm not doing that. Monday. This is your idea. What
Monday,
are we talking about?
Monday.
Tell me all about it.
We're talking about brains.
Hey, no singing. Finally.
It was bound to happen.
Yes.
We were on the thalamus before.
We were. I think we're going to the PFC. Which sounds like a place that serves chicken, but it isn't. Prefrontal cortex.
Oh, hey. Isn't that like a big deal?
Other than perfect Philadelphia chicken.
Shouldn't we flirt with that first?
Flirt or with it?
Well, what do we have left anyways?
We have the PFC.
Okay.
The amygdala.
Amygdala.
And the hippocampus.
You want to do the hippocampus
no,
last?
No, I am.
Last.
I don't know that I have an order that I want to do. I was just thinking, since we're going from we're talking about the thalamus and the medial dorsal area and its connection to the prefrontal cortex, we ended with that.
Right.
Seemed like moving into...
Oh!
Yeah. It's all that sort of
segue is a thing.
Yes. It's an all awful invention. Did you know the guy who invented it died on one?
No. That's got to be urban rumor, sort of. Horse.
Yeah, it might be. And I'm not going to look it up either because I like the story.
It's better this way. Yeah, I bet you he's still kicking around, making money.
Yeah, prefrontal cortex. Yeah, any thoughts? Because they probably go through your prefrontal cortex.
Where the hell is it?
In front of your head. Just before the frontal cortex?
Because it's the
prefrontal cortex.
It's so... So if I do this, what did I just hit?
I don't know.
This is
flipping radio.
Could have been anything. My cerebellum, right? That's the big part, the big meaty part of your brain.
Yeah, in the back of your head, yeah.
Oh, I got that all. Cerebrum.
Cerebrum, yes.
Yes. That's the big meaty part of your brain. So
I'm hoping you didn't actually hit that. But it was like your skin and or skull that
there was
took
a lot,
the brunt.
Yes. I don't know how. Let me open this door.
Okay, Phineas T. Gage.
Then spaz out after I hit it. Where is it? I still don't know where it is.
I see. You know where your eyes are?
Yes.
Good, because that's not where it is.
Oh, good. my
sort of
eyes
like
are doing things.
So. Above your eyes.
Okay.
And above and behind. You know what? Let me look it up to find out the answer to this question.
Okay.
And all these other questions. Do you think this is enough pre-stuff on the prefrontal cortex? Because I do.
Wow. Wait, are we done?
Yeah. Well, not with it. We'll be back on Wednesday. Do more recording. And then I'll edit like crazy on Thursday. And then we'll have an episode. But are you asking, are we done right now?
Yeah.
Because the answer is yes. It's in your head. You were asking, where is this thing?
Okay, thanks. So specific.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so let's start by mentioning your frontal lobe.
Okay.
Which is not the same thing as your forebrain.
Oh, okay.
It is part of your forebrain.
And the back part of your forebrain?
No, it's the front part of your forebrain. Thus the name.
Frontal lobe. Okay.
There are four lobes in your forebrain. And by the way, when you think of the, when you look at a brain, a human brain picture, you're mostly seeing forebrain.
Oh, okay.
Because in mammals and primates especially, it's become huge.
We like this thing. We use the crap out of it.
And it's split into two hemispheres, a left and right, separated by the longitudinal fissure.
That thing.
That mm-hmm. thing. And there are four lobes.
1, 2, 3, 4.
They are paired, though. There are two of them on either side of the longitudinal fissure. So really, there are eight lobes.
Oh, crap.
You have the frontal, parietal, temporal, and occipital lobes. Of those, the frontal lobe is the largest.
Oh, good.
It starts on the top, just past the central sulcus.
Sulcus?
It's a fold. Yeah. Okay. Right behind it is the parietal lobe, where you have your sensory somatic cortex.
That's where that goes?
And that's where one of those homunculuses lives.
Oh, good.
Then, you know, there's that central sulcus, more or less in the middle of your brain, going front to back as opposed to middle along the... I know what I mean.
I'm glad you do. There's pictures.
And then you've got the precentral gyrus.
Do we?
Yes.
That's, does that keep our balance?
That's the first part. Going from the back to the front, that's the first part of your frontal lobe. Mm. And that's where your primary motor area is with another homunculus.
How many of the? Never mind that question.
Lots.
They seem to be everywhere.
They're everywhere, man. Get them off me.
Every bit of your brain is like, what kind of body do I have?
Yeah, meanwhile, underneath, behind the parietal lobe is the occipital lobe. It's mostly concerned with your visual areas. Underneath part of the parietal lobe and part of the frontal lobe is your temporal lobe.
Okay.
So, basically have no idea what the brain looks like now.
Right. We're making our way there.
Depending upon who you ask, the front third to half of the frontal lobe is the prefrontal cortex. So it's the front of the front of the front.
So it's like it's a category. There's, of course, it's got more things to it.
Well, we could get into like the superior, middle, and inferior gyri. And then there's... Let's just not do that.
Let's not do that. Okay. Hang on.
Mostly because I don't really remember. The prefrontal cortex is often divided into the medial, as in closer to the longitudinal fissure, and the lateral, on the side, away from said fissure.
Laterals are a thing, and they do in football.
They also... That's perfectly helpful.
I'm here for you. Anyways.
They also might talk about the dorsal, as in the top, versus the ventral, or bottom.
Yeah. Nah.
So you end up talking about the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, which sounds more complicated than it is.
Well, you've it's that bit over there. Answered my question. If I followed all that, I would know exactly where it is.
I followed all that, and I don't know where I am. So.
There's a segment of the brain in... Yeah, okay, gotcha. It's in the brain!
It's the front part of the frontal lobe, which is the front part of the forebrain.
Okay.
Yay.
So here we are. What here the heck are. Does it do?
What does it do? What doesn't it do? It's amazing. The lateral side, the dorsolateral and ventrolateral prefrontal cortex, they are a primate thing. You don't get those in most critters.
Okay.
And they do things like your working memory.
Okay.
They help order events so that you know when A happened and that A happened before B.
That's actually, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy to do.
No, I understand that's a time-related memory is really hard to drag out of your head. You know, when did such and such a memory happen?
Yeah, I mean, we can do it. You're not all that good at it. Better than, say, I don't know, a dog.
Yeah, okay.
There is also, encoding of memories. There's dealing with novel stimulus and learning.
Ooh.
There's imagination.
Ooh.
Spatial reasoning.
Also neat.
This just goes on and on. A lot of the things we think of as uniquely human in our intelligence happens in the lateral prefrontal cortex.
Oh, okay.
Meanwhile, the older part.
Oh, okay.
The medial prefrontal cortex.
Is that middle? What is medial?
Middle, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well, I win. But part of it is actually called the entorhinal cortex.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, because it's near your nose.
Rhinal, okay.
Yeah. This has a lot to do with your self and your sense of self. We talked about the insular cortex before, sort of sandwiched between the temporal lobe and frontal lobe.
As like
had a lot to do with the self, as in your sense of your body and the fact that you own one.
Yeah.
This is more about your sense of your own mind and the fact that you own one.
So when you daydream or something like that, is that prefrontal cortex type stuff?
Or? Yes. Don't get too excited about the idea that things happen in certain areas.
Okay.
These areas are important and necessary for any of these tasks to happen, but they are not sufficient by themselves. You need the rest of the brain to pull this stuff off.
If there is a theme in your coverage of the brain, is that the whole brain seems to be involved in basically just about everything.
Well, yeah, more or less.
It's a busy critter.
Busy. The medial part. Also has to do with your social consciousness, your theory of mind, your idea of what someone else might be thinking, what is or is not appropriate to do at a given time, and some of your limited control over your own emotional state.
Wait, we talked about mice already, didn't we?
In our lifetime?
Absolutely, we've talked about mice. What was I after?
I don't know.
I was curious what a suicidal mouse would be like.
Oh.
And wasn't that on Monday?
I don't know.
I'm sorry for
your suicidal mice. It's the name of my new band. So, how do we find out about what the frontal lobes do? Well, there was good old Phineas T. Gage. In the 1800s, we did a whole episode that talked about him, episode 205. He had a iron rod driven through his head.
Poor guy.
And I mean, in one end, out the other.
In style.
Yeah.
I mean, there was explosions. It was amazing.
And his personality changed. From all reports, he had been a very calm and collected guy, a leader of men. But then he became disorganized, mercurial. Rude of thought and action.
Yeah, old style descriptions and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there we go. I like the phrasing. Later on, we had prefrontal lobotomies. A gruesome chapter
in just because.
Medical history. Oh, my Lord, what they were doing to these people. They
you're kind of moody. Let's take part of this out. It'll help.
Yeah, you're pretty close. Like, the reasoning had a lot to do with the notion that there were bad pathways that caused habitual behaviors that were bad. So if you severed them, people would be better. So but, I mean, the mostly what it did is take crazy people and turn them into idiots.
No more behavioral problem.
Yeah.
They have trouble feeding themselves now.
Yeah, some of the unusual appetite was one of the possible side effects. And it could go either way, where they weren't eating at all or they wouldn't stop eating. There was also incontinence and bladder control issues.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine the list of things? Like, you can't swallow a pill nowadays without being told the horrible side effects.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to offer you a lobotomy. Possible side effects include...
Possible side effects include incontinence, bladder control issues, eye infections.
Loss of sense of self.
And possible death, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's in there.
So the problem is there's a whole bunch of different functions that are going on in these areas. I'll give you an idea of how you can get misled. I was watching this thing, and I've got a link to it, about musical improvisation.
Oh, okay. Interested.
I've done that before, right?
Yes, me too.
So I was thinking the guy had already given us a hint that part of the prefrontal cortex would shut down and another part would light up.
Oh,
when you are doing improvisation or performance in general, really, you kind of have to let go.
Right, right.
And trust that it's going to come out all right.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, hey, the dorsolateral, your working memory area, that should light up as you generate new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that medial part, which amongst other things tends to light up when you think of what other people are thinking,
mm-hmm.
that should shut down. Right? It's right. The opposite of that.
I'm actually glad to hear that. Because you're kind of, it's communicating of sorts.
Yes.
You know?
Dorsolateral shut down, mostly. Mm. Possibly, it's because, you know, you no longer have to keep the song you've memorized in your head.
Hmm.
Another possibility is that, in addition to working memory, that is worry memory.
Oh! Perfect.
And I did run across an article about rhesus monkeys. And there is a direct connection from the dorsal prefrontal cortex, both the medial and lateral, to your locus coeruleus.
Mm.
That thing that spits out crazy sauce.
That's what it does.
Neural adrenaline. I'm just going to call it crazy sauce.
That's appropriate.
It also goes to your ventral tegmental area.
Mm.
And there's that dopamine there. And it goes down to your raft nuclei,
mm.
the source of most of your serotonin.
Mm.
So as far as tracing the circuits that allow you to have some control over your own emotions,
mm-hmm.
there you go.
It's all there.
It's all there. Another thing, I did not know this until recently.
Hey.
As in when I was doing the research for this, in your medial prefrontal cortex.
Okay.
Is an area that is active when you perform acts of bravery.
Really?
Really, really.
What? Oh. Well, define bravery.
Define bravery. Well, for this experiment, what they did is they put a snake okay. on a conveyor belt.
Oh, that poor guy.
And you, the subject, inside your little tube,
mm-hmm.
having your brain scanned, would push a button to either bring the snake closer or have it go farther away.
Okay.
And they only used subjects that did, in fact, at some point opt to make the snake go further away.
Oh.
Because they were trying to choose people who are actually afraid of snakes.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a problem with snakes at all, if you are, say, Steve Irwin, this experiment would not show anything.
Not a thing. This little area would light up a little bit before they moved the snake closer, sort of demonstrating a mental bracing. And any time they check it out and push the go away from me button, it shut down. It's interesting, a side note of this, if that area is overactive,
mm-hmm.
it correlates with depression.
That's weird.
Yeah, don't get too brave, you'll be sad.
I don't understand. Correlates, though. You did say correlates.
I did say correlates. So you have to understand that clinical depression, you can actually feel jolly and be depressed.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just sadness, it's that your emotions have been depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that area in the prelimbic cortex, it is highly connected to your amygdala.
Okay.
Wherein your emotions live.
Ooh, really?
Yes, but that's like complicated.
Hey.
And has a lot to do with your memory, and those are the last two bits of the brain we got to talk about. So I think we'll pick that up next time. See you then.
Bye.